Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And we're going to start the program today by taking a look at airfare. Lower ticket prices are back. And you know what? So's Rick Seney. He is the CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com and comes by pretty often to answer your travel questions, especially on air travel. Today, he has some tips for travelers who don't fly regularly, and we'll talk about great places to travel with him. And you may have some questions as well, so I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And Rick Seney, welcome back.
Hey, Larry. Nice to be on again today.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. You travel a lot, but many people take plane rides, let's say infrequently. Maybe they're once a year or maybe even every other year. What are some of the things they need to be aware of if they're traveling soon?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, the airlines, at least the legacy airlines, and then Frontier, which changed its model recently to be an ultra-low-cost airline, they actually do have sections of the aircraft where you actually have carry-on fees, or you can't even have a carry-on that you put above your head. So you have to be a little bit careful when you're buying your tickets. Make sure you understand all the particular rules. I'd also note, too, that almost everybody that buys a ticket is a non-refundable ticket, and that basically means in order to change your ticket, you have a penalty in the industry, and that penalty typically is $200 round trip for domestic, $300 for international. So essentially, you do not want to change that. There is a notable exception. Southwest Airlines doesn't actually charge change fees. And by the way, Larry, change fees alone are, I think last year, were somewhere close to $3.7 billion to airlines.
Wow. Holy cow. That is a lot of money. So refunds are rare, cancellations, not a good idea.
Yeah. Be aware too, that also, you know, there's a new pecking order on aircraft. And if you want more legroom, that'll cost you a fee. Typically, if you want to have aisle or window, that'll cost you a fee. If you want to cut in line at the airport and be in the first groups that board, there's a fee for that as well. Now, there are ways to get around that. If you have time and want to be a hobbyist a bit, you can achieve a status. You can use branded credit cards from airlines. But essentially, the fee generation has been around since really the first bag fee was instituted by American in the spring of 2008, and it looks like it's here to stay and probably going to be even more over the coming years.
Well, are there some good airfares out there?
Right now, actually, there's sort of a perfect storm, especially to Europe. The dollar is very strong against both the euro and the pound. You also have a sort of bevy of ultra-low-cost transatlantic carriers, including Iceland Air, WOW, Norwegian, Aer Lingus is also in that category, which has driven down the price a bit. Fuel prices have been relatively low, so very inexpensive, for example, to travel this sort of late summer, early fall into Europe. And as well, you have sort of the second-best travel season right now, which is essentially September through sort of Thanksgiving travel time period, where prices are down because kids are back in school, and there's lots of really good deals out there. A lot of them, especially out of major cities across the country, less than $120 round trip. I was looking out of Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis, some of the smaller cities in Wisconsin, and the prices are down about 10 to 15% over where they were last year. So some good deals out there this fall.
I can tell you right now, if you want to go to Orlando around Halloween, you're going to pay a pretty penny.
Well, they have a great Halloween down there, and I was actually looking out of Milwaukee into Orlando just for fun, actually, in October. The difference between the nonstop down there and the connecting flight was like $400 or $500 around that time frame. So you also are going to pay a pretty hefty premium for convenience. If you want the nonstop, you're going to have to really pull the trigger on a much higher price point.
Yeah, I dug into the credit card a little deeper than normal for that one.
At least you did it in the right time frame. Essentially, you want to start shopping for domestic airline tickets about 3 months before departure. If you can, stay outside of 30 days before departure. That's when the airlines really know exactly your patterns over the last 12 or 13 years. They have digital history. If you're buying your ticket inside of 30 days, which most people do, over 65% of tickets are sold inside of 30 days, you're playing right into the airline's hands.
Yeah, well, I was surprised at the small number of seats available on the planes that I wanted to travel on during that time period. The seats had already been sold.
Especially to Orlando and some of those specialty days. For example, right now, if you're traveling the Wednesday before and the Sunday after Thanksgiving, those are typically two of the busiest days of the year and the most expensive. You should be shopping right now, for example. But if you're leaving Monday or Tuesday or the cheapest day, the actual day of Thanksgiving or a Saturday or Monday after, you still have a couple more weeks, but start to add $1 or $2 every day to your virtual airline ticket to motivate you over the next 2 or 3 weeks to start shopping for Thanksgiving.
Gail in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Gail, thanks for calling. Hi.
Thank you.
What's on your mind today?
I'm planning a trip to Thailand. I'm taking my son and daughter-in-law. They can stay 2 weeks. I'm staying for a month. I don't want the cheapest flight to Thailand. It sounds like being squished in a little tiny space for that long would be less than fun. And I'm having trouble figuring out how to use the online ticketing programs to find what I want.
Yeah, and you're going in February.
February. I got three people going one way, and I'd like us all to sit together. And then I've got two different times for coming back, and I don't want the cheapest ticket in the place, and everything seems to sort by price.
Right. So, well, a couple different things. When you're on online sites, even at faircompare.com, there's a filter bar usually on there where you can actually filter by price, by convenience, which is either nonstops or stops, or by duration. So there's always a filter on there where you can sort of look at those things. Now, as far as sort of which airline has the best aircraft and the most legroom, there are sites out there like SeatGuru and a variety of other ones out there that are more in tune to telling you what the experience in the aircraft is and, you know, what the differences are in some of those particular aircraft. But if you're going to Bangkok, you're in pretty good shape. Here's what I like to do when I travel basically over the Pacific. I like to actually buy the ticket out of the West Coast. They're usually cheaper out of the West Coast, and buy a domestic ticket and stay the night over there. It's an extremely long trip. You're looking at 15 to 18 hours if you do, with connections on that particular trip. I like to spend the night so it doesn't seem that much, and it's a little bit cheaper to do that. If you want to connect all the way through, for example, on a one-stop, you know, I see fares out there right now on airlines like well, you'll actually go sort of the other way around, but like airlines like Qatar have tickets in the low $700 round trip range for February. That's an unbelievably cheap price right now. That's including only one stop. You have ANA, which is a Japanese airline, also in that $800 round trip range. Actually, if you want to look at some of the carriers in the U.S., they're up around $1,200 or $1,300, and typically you're going to connect with a partner anyway to go into Thailand.
Hmm. There you go.
So, okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks very much for calling. Let's turn to Jim in Larson. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Larry and Rick. Thanks very much. Four of us want to travel to Scandinavia next summer. One couple leaving from Grand Rapids, Michigan area, another from northeastern Wisconsin. We're going to be there for 2 weeks. We know we want to go to Gothenburg, Sweden, and then maybe some of the other areas around as well. And so I'm looking for advice about when to depart, or I should say where to depart from, when to book, whether open jaw booking is a good idea, and if you recommend the buy the ticket out to, let's say, New York City, and then also a domestic ticket to New York from someplace in the Midwest.
Yeah, I just have so many different options right now. That's a great set of questions. Let me give you a few tips. What time of year did you say you were going?
Next July.
Next July, okay. So you're a little early to be shopping. You can only buy tickets 11 months in advance, so you can barely buy a ticket for that time frame anyway. Typically, you want to start about 5.5 months for international departures to start looking for that ticket. So probably late December, early January is your best bet in there. That's when I would start looking. A couple tips. When you're going into Europe, just generally, they have what's called weekend and midweek pricing. So essentially, Monday through Thursday departures typically are about $30 to $40 cheaper than Friday through Sunday departures. So if you can leave on a week, quote unquote, midweek day, you can save yourself $70 to $80 round trip right there. Even if you do it on half your trip, so say you left on a Saturday and came back on a Wednesday, for example, if you stayed for a couple weeks, that would save you some money there. You're sort of in luck. Over the last 18 months or so, and I believe that to be the case over the next year or so, the Nordic countries, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, all have been some of the cheapest that are out there because there's an ultra low cost airline that's come on board in the last 18 months or so called Norwegian. And they're flying out of certain cities in the Northeast, and they're selling tickets into Norway and some other places for $300 and $400 round trip. So that's brought down both the cost of the U.S. carriers and their partners, including SAS in partnership. So you can really get some good deals out there. Iceland Air even actually has some tickets into Denmark, for example, and you basically connect in Reykjavik. So, I mean, there's so many different options there that you can do, but I would pick one of those. You're looking at ticket prices just generally in summertime travel into those locations around $1,200 round trip historically. But if you go on one of these ultra low cost carriers and you have some flexibility, you can get that ticket to $600 or $700.
There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Karen in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I need to go on a trip, both kind of, the last part is business, but the first part is fun. And I want to fly, I always like flying from the Green Bay Airport, and I know it's additional money, but it's really nice when you come back and you have 10 miles to drive in the home. So I have to go to, and I'm going to destroy this name, Curitiba, Brazil.
Okay, yeah, I'm not super familiar with that, but there's just generally almost all traffic that flies into Brazil either goes through Sao Paulo or Rio.
Yeah.
There are some flights out of the Miami area that go into Brasilia and some other places as well.
Okay, so I think what my friend said is you have to go through Sao Paulo, and then it's like a little connecting flight.
There's a couple of little airlines that you would actually connect with.
Okay. One of my concerns is I like to stay with the same airline when I travel, like, or their partner for the entire trip. It just seems to simplify things. And I usually fly Delta, but I'm not seeing Delta go to Brazil.
Yeah, in some cases, I'm not so familiar with that particular location, but there are a handful. There's a couple of small carriers in Brazil that actually do a lot of the domestic flying that's there. There's a carrier that's modeled after JetBlue called Azul. And there's another carrier, I think it's called Passaredo or something like that. But they typically don't have partnerships with the three legacy airlines, American, United, and Delta. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You'll have to check on that.
I'm only seeing United going to Brazil.
Yeah, so it looks like they do have a partnership there. So, so in that case, you'd have to split your ticket purchase, which can be a little bit tricky because when you're splitting your ticket purchase, if you happen to miss a connection or something, you're on the hook for the other half of that split ticket. Okay. And it also makes it a little more complicated for transferring your baggage as well. If you're a heavy packer on the particular trip, that means you have to essentially, you're going to have to, when you cross a border anyway, actually go through customs with your baggage anyway. But it makes it a little more complicated because sometimes these other airlines are in different terminals, for example, the airport. And so you have to leave yourself a pretty good time window to make sure you can connect properly.
And I also need a visa for Brazil, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know quite how difficult is it, because the one I went to India, that I just sent to a company and said, do it.
Yeah, you want to do it well ahead of time. Otherwise, you're going to pay expedite fees, which can be several hundred dollars. So you don't want to wait till the last minute. Okay. Go ahead and start that process fairly early, otherwise, because it's fairly inexpensive to do it early. But if you do it at the last minute, there's a ton of expedite fees involved.
Okay. I appreciate all your help. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call as well. Our guest today, Rick Seney. He is CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com, taking a look at your air travel plans right here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadora, an air producer. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk about wildlife art and the upcoming duck stamp competition in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. So stay with us for that. Right now, getting some travel advice from Rick Seney, CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com. Great to have him along. We had a Facebook question from Linda, who says she's found the regulations on liquids and medicines confusing. Can you help with that?
Yeah, so essentially you have a 3.4-ounce liquid rule unless it's medications. And I can attest to this. I actually had some gum surgery a while back, and I had to fly, and I had this sort of bottle that was 10 or 11 ounces that I had to take with me, which was essentially sort of like a mouthwash. You just have to tell the person as you're going in that you have, you know, special medications. You can also do this with baby formula and other things. And they actually will dip a Q-tip in there and then put it in one of their bomb sniffing machines. And when it passes, then basically you can carry that through.
Ah, no problem then. Okay.
Right.
Ann in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Ann.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just getting ready this morning to schedule a flight out to San Francisco on the 27th of this September. And anyway, I was getting ready to do it through American. They fly out of Appleton now. And my sister-in-law told me that I would save a lot of money if I went through a particular company, I guess, called Pay to Save, where you pay a subscription service. And she went on and she found tickets, and it was like a $250 savings. And I'm just thinking, is this legitimate? And I would just be, I would be going crazy if I went to the airport and they said, sorry, this is not real tickets.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that particular company, but I have seen sort of the model where it's a club where you get discounts and whatnot. Just generally, airlines do not discount generally domestic tickets. They do have all sorts of interesting airfares for international tickets, and certain groups like students have specialty fares, and certain ethnic groups have specialty fares in certain locations. But just generally, if somebody is claiming that they can save you money off of domestic tickets, is part of that. They wouldn't be able to do it if you were flying a lot. There's no way they could do it. Now, if you're paying them $250 and then they're giving you $100 off the domestic fare and they do that twice a year and make $50 off of you, I'm not sure how that works. But just generally, those kind of things, you'd have to really know the rules on them. I'm not familiar with that particular one.
No, it would actually be like $250 cheaper than the flight if I scheduled it directly through American. Instead of paying like $700, it would be like...
Yeah, I'd be careful too, because sometimes they pick the flights for you in certain cases, and sometimes you might have a lengthy connection, and can you get exactly the same flights? I'd make sure that I read the fine print very closely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good, good luck. Thank you, Ann.
You know, for example, Priceline used to have name your own price. You could name your price, but you couldn't tell which airline it was or what time or how long the particular flight was. Hotwire has some stuff in there, too, where you could sort of say what the time range is, and maybe it's a group of these three or four potential airlines. really, there's four airlines that control over 80% of traffic in the United States: American, Delta, United, and Southwest. So if you're flying domestically, you're pretty much on those airlines, unless you're in the Northwest Coast, where you also have Alaska, or in the Northeast, where JetBlue is pretty big.
All right, there we go. Thanks again, Ann. Fran in Appleton, your turn now. Hi, Fran.
Hi. Well, we're going down to Nicaragua January 25th. And then hopping over to Guatemala City for another couple of weeks. So we want to, I want to know what you think about flying into Nicaragua and then home from Guatemala.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly reasonable. People do that all the time. It's what's called a multi-city trip. The way airlines price those kind of tickets is essentially you pay half round trip to one destination and half round trip back to the other. So it's relatively simple on how they do that. We don't offer multi-city on Fare Compare, but there's plenty of sites that do have multi-city itineraries, so you can actually check those particular out. But just look for, usually under on the quote box, you'll see something called advanced or multi-city or something like that. Perfectly reasonable to do that, and a lot of people do that, especially if they're taking side trips.
There we go.
All right. And a little aside to that, to hop over from Nicaragua to Guatemala, I'm finding like $378 for a fare that would get us there in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to minimize the cost of that?
It depends on which day and when you're going. Is that a one-way ticket that you're trying to buy?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so in that particular instance, I'm not familiar with which airlines are on that route right off the top of my head, but essentially, when you look at those things, what time of year are you going?
That would be February.
February. It's a little early to be shopping for that right now. So you're outside of the window of time where they're going to be managing their cheapest fares. I'd be waiting a little bit. That price point should come down. Also, just for anybody that's out there flying who's actually taking a one-way trip, or may or may not planning on coming back, when you're taking round trips like that, sometimes they just don't file file one-way airfares that are very expensive depending on the route. So sometimes it's worthwhile to go ahead and plan on taking a round trip. Even if you can't make it back, you can notify the airline.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Art in Milwaukee next. Art, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks so much for the show. As you may know, Air Berlin has gone into bankruptcy. They had direct flights from Chicago to Berlin, which we took regularly. So two questions. One, what are the implications in terms of is that likely to be picked up by another carrier? And two, we actually have some relatives who have tickets already purchased. So what's the best and worst case scenario in this kind of situation?
Well, you're sort of in luck because the editor at our site also has tickets to Air Berlin. She was asking last week. So essentially, because a carrier is in bankruptcy doesn't mean that it's not flying. So typically they will be flying those tickets. I haven't heard on Air Berlin if they actually will stop flying. There's lots of carriers that have been in bankruptcy, especially Italian carriers and some other ones that have flown essentially under bankruptcy. So we'll know more about that in the coming weeks. But essentially, I think you're probably pretty safe. It depends on what happens. It's kind of fluid at the moment. But essentially, I'd be making sure that I have some sort of backup plans as well.
As of September 30th, the Chicago-Berlin one has been canceled.
Oh, it's canceled.
They actually did cancel it. Okay, yeah. In that case, if they're under bankruptcy and you already purchased a ticket and you're outside of the two-month window on your credit card, if you've already done it on your credit card and you're inside the two-month window, I would go ahead and dispute the charge, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how far back your actual ticket purchase was in that case. Otherwise, you're becoming a creditor as part of the bankruptcy, and you're essentially you're not likely to see anything happen there.
Any thoughts on who might pick up the flight in the future?
It'll be, interestingly enough, I just don't know who or may or may not pick up that particular flight. Air Berlin was doing that flight in partnership with some other folks. So, you know, I'm not sure. I'd have to look deeper into that. In fact, I didn't realize they'd actually canceled that particular flight. So this is something that's happened in the last couple of weeks that I haven't kept very close track of. But essentially, in this particular case, are you within the two-month window to actually dispute the charge on your credit card?
I have to say it's my son's flight.
You'll have to check. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to check that. And tell you what, if you'll send me a note at customer.service@faircompare.com, I'll do a little deeper investigation for you.
Okay, terrific.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I have a friend who had a similar situation, and every so often she'll get a check in the mail for $3 or $4.
Oh, yeah, it's part of the bankruptcy proceedings as they sort of liquidate things, yeah.
out of the $1,200 or whatever it was she had. Rick in Superior has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning. I called to see what's in your wallet. The credit card companies are frequently on television and even radio trying to push their particular credit card for airline miles. Do you have any thoughts as to whether or not that's a wise thing to do as opposed to just taking some cash, to a percent or something?
So I have to warn you that I'm a sort of hobbyist when it comes to credit cards and points and miles. but generally, if you're flying more than a couple times a year, it absolutely behooves you, and you're in a particular airport where it's dominated by an airline or two, to get the branded credit card on that particular airline. It gives you a couple things. It gives you some perks like, for example, earlier boarding groups in some cases. It actually gives you double points, for example, when you buy a ticket on that particular airline. In my case, I live in Dallas. So I have a branded credit card on both Southwest Airlines and American Airlines. I use them separately. But if I'm actually accumulating points and miles, I particularly use the Starwood SPG credit card because I can transfer miles and points at 1.2 onto the other ones. So I actually get a sort of a bonus for doing that. And plus, I can also do that with hotels. So it's a little bit odd. People would think, why, you know, you're using essentially a hotel credit card in order to fly properly, but it's actually worthwhile to do that. I suggest that if you want to be a hobbyist in this area and you really need to sort of study what the differences are around that, there's Flyer Talk, there's Mile Points, several sites that are for hobbyists out there for people that want to accumulate points. But just generally, if you're only flying once or twice a year, you're better off probably getting a 2% cash back card.
Well, thank you very much. That's very informational, very helpful. Thanks.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Pam in Wisconsin Rapids next. Hi, Pam.
Hi there, Larry. Thanks for having me. Thank you to your guests. I'm just calling because we are planning a trip in March to go to Japan to see our son, and on the way back, we'd like to stop in Hawaii on the way back to Madison. I wonder if you have any suggestions on an economical way to do that.
I think, if I recall correctly, that Hawaiian Airlines actually flies to Japan, and also clearly they fly through Hawaii as well, so you might want to check into that so that you have a connection there. So it's not unusual for people to actually do that. In Japan, Hawaii has historically been one of the most popular stops out of Japan, so there's plenty of aircraft flying back and forth between them. You'll typically want to have to connect on one of those, like Japan Airlines or ANA or one of the other ones that are there. There's several other carriers that fly between there. So I would definitely check on Hawaiian Airlines. They have some good deals back and forth. I've seen some of those deals from time to time. What time of year are you going?
Sorry, I'm going in March.
Going in March.
Yeah. So you're right in the next month or two, you're right in the window to start shopping for that, and you'll see some deals coming back and forth. But essentially, you'll be doing what's called a multi-city trip. So I would check on Hawaiian, and I would also do a multi-city query on several different online travel agencies, as well as on a couple carriers like Japan Airlines, for example.
All right. There we go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Joel in McFarland up next. Hi, Joel. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My family and I will be flying to St. Martin in next March for spring break, and I'm looking for advice on when to buy the ticket or what airline to fly.
Yeah, so next March, you're going to be looking at sort of that 3.5 to 5 month window for those tickets. So you're looking at buying that thing sometime and sort of kicking the tires in late November, getting more in tune with it in December. And sort of that's when you want to look for those particular tickets. Is it St. Martin with the E or with the I version? I think there's two of them.
with the E, we're actually going on to Anguilla from St. Martin, so I believe it's okay. With the E.
Yeah, so essentially in those particular cases, almost all the flights in there transit out of South Florida, typically Miami. You have Delta and American both flying into that route, but you have to be careful because they have seasonal activity right there in that March timeframe where they may not fly every day of the week.
Okay.
So just be sure, and if you're seeing prices on a particular day or not seeing that carrier, be sure you try a couple other days because they have seasonal flights in some cases.
And we can use your website to put in the information, and we'll get...
You can sign up for alerts as well, yeah.
Very good. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it very much. Yeah, Rick, maybe you could talk about your site a little bit.
Sure, yeah. No, I'm a computer scientist by nature. Our company is a bunch of computer geeks. We have hundreds of computers crunching airfare. Our company is part of the Airline Ticket Stock Exchange, so I've been basically analyzing airfare for over a decade, and we're looking for good deals, trying to find deals out of your airport. When to buy is a question we're always trying to answer. It's a very complicated question, based on inventory and real-time stuff that's going on. But essentially, the best way to shop for airfare is to sign up for alerts. Gives you a feel for the price point. And to actually, if I was going to give just one tip to everybody, just think of the day you want to start shopping for your airline ticket and shop one day before, because most people procrastinate, and that's why they end up overpaying for the ticket.
Okay. Zach in Madison up next with a question. Hi, Zach.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I've got a group of 8 guys going to Alaska about a year from now in mid-September and wondering about when we should start looking at airfare, and if you had an idea of what direct flights, what a reasonable price would be out of O'Hare.
Sure, yeah. So historically, first of all, again, it's way too early to start shopping for those flights. Very rarely do you want to do that up until about 3.5 months before departure. Essentially, airlines don't manage their cheapest fares until about 3 to 3.5 months before departure. So if you're shopping too early, a lot of people do actually shop too early. They're only going to sell you the 4th or 5th cheapest price point in their listing until that time. For summertime flights, it's definitely high season. You're looking at prices sort of in the $480 at the low end and up to about $750 to $900 on the high end, depending on what you want to do. If you're looking for nonstops out of places like Minneapolis and Chicago, it can be even higher, closer to $950 to $1,000. So connecting flights typically would go through someplace like Portland and or Seattle or Vancouver, for example, would be a little bit cheaper.
Okay. Do you have any experience using the companion fares on Alaska Airlines?
I have not, because I live in Dallas, but I hear that they actually work pretty well, but you have to make sure that you do that. And this is one of those things, if you're doing a companion fare, you might want to do a little bit earlier than that 3.5 month window.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks very much.
Thanks sure. very much for calling. Dawn on Facebook says her family's traveling. Sandra on Facebook says she is traveling to Ireland in a couple of weeks and nervous about the long flight. What are some things she can do to ward off claustrophobia, boredom, and jet lag?
Yeah, the white knuckler. My brother is a white knuckle flyer, so I'm familiar with that. They actually have a variety of really cool resources. Virgin Atlantic has a cool resource you can go online if you're a white knuckle flyer that has a bunch of interesting exercises to do and for people that are uncomfortable with flying, for example. I fly so much, essentially, it's my Bose headsets send me off into another world of country music or whatever I happen to be listening to at the time. So that's how I sort of try to tune things out, or either that or I'm on the computer. Some of those flights actually do have the internet, depending on which flight you actually book. I actually was coming back this past weekend from Scotland on a golf trip. The flight coming back actually had internet. So actually the time went by very fast by using the internet. It's probably the best $25 I spent on a flight in the history of my flying.
All right. Randy in Twin Cities, your turn. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Rick. I'm looking to fly from La Crosse or Rochester, La Crosse, Wisconsin or Rochester, to Phoenix, Arizona around Christmas time. You got any tips for me?
When should you buy the ticket and so forth? Yeah.
Yeah, so is it Christmas time like 15th, 16th, or right in the heart of Christmas time?
Well, prior to listening to your show, you said one of the better days to fly is actually Christmas Day.
Yes, it is. It's one of the cheapest days to fly, which I think that's a Monday this year, if I'm not correct. Typically, Mondays are one of the most expensive days to fly, except you can throw sort of all the rules out for holidays. You can, if you're trying to shop particularly on holidays right now, you can go ahead and start shopping now, especially for days like Saturday before, like I think that's like the 23rd around bracketing Christmas. That's when a lot of people like to fly. But the day of Christmas is actually a pretty good day to fly, and usually it's really good for sort of having an empty middle seat as well, because not as many people fly that day, and flight schedules are a little bit lighter. There's fewer people flying on that particular morning if you can get out that morning. So I would definitely start shopping for anything sort of past the 20th of December through basically the 4th or 5th of January. I'd start shopping for those in the next few weeks. Just generally, the day of Christmas, though, is going to be one of your cheapest days. The Wednesday after, I think that's the 27th, and the 20th are going to be your cheapest days.
All right.
Roughly, what would be a good price for a flight like that?
Well, out of La Crosse, or I think you said Rochester or something,
yeah,
as well, you're going to end up just generally, by flying out of one of those regional airports, paying an extra anywhere from $110 to $140 compared to if you were flying out of someplace like Chicago or Milwaukee or Minneapolis, for example. So a ticket price in that price range around that time frame, you're looking at $450 to about $530 or so. If you see it below $400, go ahead and scoop it up quickly.
All right.
Okay.
All right, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Rick, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And you're going to be back on Thursday, September 21st. And we'll do this all over again. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Take care.
Rick Seney is CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. And he'll be back on September 21st. I noticed Zach from Madison was talking about flying to Alaska in about a year. Our next guest is in Alaska, and we'll talk with our guest, Tim Isley, about the Wildlife Duck Stamp Contest. That coming up next on the Ideas Network.
Here's a look at what's coming up this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. At 12:30 on Chapter a Day, Jim Fleming reads from A Memory of Muskets by Kathleen Ernst. Then join us from 1 till 3 for 1A from NPR. After 1, the latest on Tropical Storm Harvey and tips to make sure that what you give goes to victims, not to scammers. After 2, is growing up with a smartphone ruining today's generation? And stay with us after 3 for Central Time.